What we have before us in the Bible today, Acts chapter 2, is one of the most compelling stories we have about our origins as the Church of Jesus Christ and about our purpose. If you back up and read Acts 1, you'll be reminded that after Jesus' crucifixion, death, and resurrection, he appeared to his followers over a period of about 6 weeks, about 40 days. And then he told them not to leave the city, Jerusalem, where they were basically in hiding for fear of their lives, but they were to wait. They were to wait. A gift would be coming, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So listen as I read Acts 1, 4 through 8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." For those of us who have been around faith for some time, we have some understanding of what this is. Some. The gift, the presence, the movement of the Holy Spirit. There is so much more that we don't know, we have no idea about, that we will never know this side of heaven. But some of us have some sense of who the Holy Spirit is and how he moves. But for the apostles in Jerusalem at that point, we need to imagine how they might have heard this. They knew about the Holy Spirit in the sense of God speaking and moving through people like King David and like the prophet Joel, who we'll hear Peter quote in a moment. And they knew that Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit, like what we heard in the John 14 reading. He promised he would send his Holy Spirit upon them, among us, to accompany us, to go with us, to empower us, to fill us, to bring us peace. He breathed on them and said, "Peace, receive the Holy Spirit." But what about this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Baptism. Like with water? And what about the Holy Spirit coming and turning them into witnesses? The base word for witness in Greek means someone who remembers and tells. It's the word martyres, from which we later got the word martyr, somebody who remembers and tells and then is killed because they remembered and told about Jesus. The Holy Spirit would come and would baptize them and give them power to become witnesses in Jerusalem where they were, and in all Judea and Samaria and out to the ends of the earth. But before this happened, we can only imagine the huge unknowns. And Jesus told them, "Just wait. Stay here. Just wait." And then he was gone. He ascended into heaven, defying all the laws of gravity, physically being lifted up off the earth and into the sky, beyond what we can really imagine. And then in chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, two men dressed in white asked them what they were doing there, just standing around with their mouths open. And they said, "This very same Jesus who was taken up from you, from among you to heaven, will as certainly as mysteriously return, just as he left." And so they waited. They went back to their rented room and they prayed. And among other things, this is when they chose Matthias to take the place of their betraying friend Judas, who had suicided just before Jesus' death. And they waited. They waited for a week. And then Pentecost came. On the day of Pentecost, everything was unleashed and it has never been releashed. The Holy Spirit was poured out and he's never been withdrawn. Pentecost is an ancient Jewish festival coming 50 days after Passover, not counting Sabbath days. It's a day to mark the end of the barley festival and a day to give God thanks for grain, for food. So like with Passover, pilgrims came from all over the known world into Jerusalem for this sacred feast. And they came from Rome and from modern-day Turkey, Iran, Syria, Yemen, Egypt, Libya, and elsewhere. A polyglot group of people all packing into this tiny walled city to celebrate. So now listen to the story from Acts 2, 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. It's the whole world. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We love words, don't we? Some of us dig into words and find out where they came from and love coming across new words. Some of us routinely work on crossword puzzles or other word puzzles. Some of us read continually. Literature, pulp fiction, newspapers, Facebook. It's a lot of words. A lot of words all the time. Some are glued to our screens, our phones, iPads, computers at home. Some read and text continually. Think of all the words that you'll hear today or that you already have heard. Words right now, including what I'm saying. And words you'll hear in your car, on your phone, on the TV, on the radio, in emails, all the conversations that we'll have. Imagine if you had to count up the words of this very day. It's a lot of words. In a book titled Caring for Words in a Culture of Lies, Marilyn Chandler McIntyre writes that in the English language, there are just over 1 million words. That the average educated person knows about 2% of those words, about 20,000 words. And that in the course of any given week, on average, we use about 2,000 different words each week. Which means that there are a lot more words we could use. But we use a lot. Words, words, words. We live in a sea of words. reading, hearing, praying, writing, speaking, singing, signing, absorbing all the words that come at us and putting into expression all the things within us. Words. So isn't it interesting, isn't it fascinating that our God, who created the entire universe and who created each one of us, isn't it fascinating that he spoke it all into being? Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be a separation between the ground and the water, between the earth and the sky. Let there be a man and a woman, Adam, Adama, created in my own image. God's word did it. And then how amazing, in sending us his Son, the once forever Savior of the whole world. How does the Gospel of John begin to tell the story of Jesus? In the beginning was the what? Was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word. And how amazing that God gives us words as a way to know him and to come closer to him. God's Word, the Bible, Scripture. This word that we're handling here today, it's described in the letter to the Hebrews as being living and active. And in Philippians, Paul writes about it as these words of life. And the people of Israel were told to fix these words in your minds and your hearts, bind them as a symbol on your forehead, use them as a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. The Word of God, words. All of this is to say that we live in a sea of words, over a million words in English, to say nothing about all the words of the global languages around us. And in the midst of all of this, in this sea of words, there are other words. There are other words. The words of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Words which are not ours, but are God's. Words that are given to us and planted in us. Words that come from him and that point to him. Words that he speaks into us to reorient us. Living and active words. Words that are not sourced by our own lexicons or our own creativity, but are words spoken by the Holy Spirit. Speaking in us and often through us, just as he did on that day in Jerusalem, on Pentecost. And so when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples at Pentecost, coming with the sound of a violent wind filling the whole house and tongues of fire that flickered over each one, however we might imagine that, there also came words. Words. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And this continued. If you read through the rest of Acts chapter 2, you'll see the power of these words as Peter began preaching. And remember, this was a new deal for Peter. He was a fisherman. He wasn't a preacher. He didn't have formal education. But now, with a growing crowd of people from all over the world clustering around, Peter preached. He told this story of Jesus, and he narrowed the focus right to the core in verses 38 and 39. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off. Our names are written in here. For all those who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. Repent, be baptized, and receive this gift. And look at what happened in verse 41. Those who accepted his message, those who received it, were baptized. And about 3,000 people were added to their number that day. This is Peter's first sermon. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. If you keep reading through Acts, the story is punctuated again and again with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit shaking a place, the Holy Spirit filling people, the Holy Spirit moving in ways that could only be of God, and that bring life and change that are all about God, all about God who has come to save us through Jesus Christ, God's Word in flesh and blood. And so it continues even today, even here in this place, even among us, you and me, the people seated next to you and in front of you and in back of you. The Holy Spirit is moving. He moves. He speaks. He shakes lives. He stirs things up. He enlivens. He ignites. He brings peace. All for the glory of God. Sometimes the Holy Spirit moves powerfully in preaching and in the reading of His Word. That's my prayer every Sunday when we come to worship, that God would move in ways that are completely beyond us. Sometimes it's the music, the words, the melodies, or both combined, moving in ways that move us so deeply and speak to us even in inarticulate ways. Sometimes it's through visual things, through sunlight coming in, or through the light of candles, or through what we see in the face and actions and gestures of the people around us. Sometimes it is in words and touches from others. A timely hug, a word coming at just the right moment, a note that somebody is prompted to write, having no idea of the poignant timing on our end of it. The Holy Spirit moves. There is no way to quantify or predict or somehow manage how the Holy Spirit moves, baptizing us, filling us, stirring up repentance and excitement and power, giving us the ability to do things or be part of things that we would never even imagine apart from the Holy Spirit. But there are ways to poise ourselves, to be receptive to Him. One of those ways is simply through prayer. Prayer. Listening prayer. Waiting prayer. Prayer where we come with no other agenda than simply saying yes. And this is my main point for today. A prayerful yes posture avails us to the Holy Spirit. A prayerful yes posture opens us to the Holy Spirit. It's coming in prayer in the posture of humility and weakness. Not demand and strength, but humility and weakness, knowing our flaws, knowing our sins, knowing our broken areas and how broken and tangled up this world is, and coming with that yes. It's coming saying, yes, I'm simply here. I'm simply here to receive what you give, to be in your presence, even if it's wordless, even if there are no takeaway points, even if there's no great insight. I'm simply here saying yes to you, Holy Spirit. Paul wrote about this. And I'd like you to hear part of what Paul wrote in Romans 8. It's not going to be projected, so I just want you to hear it. And I'm going to read it twice, because sometimes we lose the thread when we're hearing something, especially when it's from Paul and especially out of Romans. So I want to invite you to let these words, God's living and active word, to let these Holy Spirit-inspired words, let them rest on you and move in you and speak to you as you come with your yes to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From Romans 8. Simply receive these words. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we have to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. I'd like you to hear it again. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our minds, our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit. O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, continue to enliven Your Word in our lives, Your Word in the many ways that it comes, through print, through hearing, through memory, through seeing it, through feeling it. Help us to be responsive to what You're doing and to follow Your lead. Pour out Your Spirit freshly upon us and do new things in us. Things that are all for Your glory, things that knit Your body, the church, together, that expand the reach of Your kingdom. Things that are marked with Your greatness coming into our humility. We lay ourselves before You and we pray for Your will to be done, for You to move powerfully, for You to move sweetly, bringing new life and new change. We pray this all in Your name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand for this responsive reading, and then we will